The following podcast is brought to you by the Jonas Podcasting Network, found exclusively at WrestlingWithJonas.com.
Marcus, and welcome to another episode of Toilet Side Wrestling Talk. Today's guest hails from Brooklyn, New York, and has worked for such promotions as 1CW Pro Wrestling, Fight Club Pro Wrestling, All or Nothing Wrestling, Eastern Panhandle Pro Wrestling, Eastern Wrestling Association, and I could go on. Shared the ring with likes of Robbie Blizzard, Saul Esparza, Robbie Radke, Killian McMurphy, Jacob Jett, Axton Ray, Tyler Moore, Bum Hayden. Again, I could go on. Part of the tag team Studio 22 with Jeremy Showtime Grimes. So let's welcome today's guest, someone who, if he was directing my life story, he'd have a woman with short hair playing me, primarily due to my high-pitched voice. I give you the director, Christopher Andino. Hey, Chris, how are you?
How you doing?
Do you know that there's somebody by your same name who's like a counselor at the U.S. Embassy in Argentina?
No.
Okay, can you confirm you're not that person?
I am not I'm not even Argentinian.
Yes, he seems pretty important. I just read the first paragraph of his bio, but So thank you for coming on. I really appreciate you giving me this time.
Thank you.
Can you tell me where the director name came from?
It was actually like pretty much the entire thing was kind of like put on me from where I trained at.
Okay.
The irony is because it's not out yet. So it's not really, I am spoiling, but the director thing is actually dissolving. But it's something that's coming up on the next couple episodes of Mochella. So.
Oh, okay. Say no more. I'm going to save it. Did you like it when you were first given that?
I haven't.
Did you make a choice?
Yes and no.
Okay.
I haven't liked any gimmick that I've done up until currently.
Uh-huh.
But it's one of those things where it's like, it's a lot of film that isn't out yet.
So yeah.
It's one of those things where I'm just kind of sitting, chomping, waiting.
God, I bet. Yeah. Each day it gets closer.
Yeah. So I'm just riding the director thing until it's like done.
Okay. Yeah. And we'll never see it. Well, never say never, of seeing it again. Up to you, we'll never see that again.
It's more so just like, it's too on the nose.
Okay.
And. Got it. It's one of those things where I just want to be more of myself. It's going to still feel like I'm the director, though.
Sure.
Yeah.
Where did you grow up?
I am from Brooklyn, New York.
Oh, okay. Yeah. And was your like whole family located around there?
My parents came to New York. My father's Puerto Rican and my mother's Dominican.
Okay.
Yeah. So.
And then did you have siblings?
I have a little brother and an older sister.
Are you guys close? I'm sorry, I don't mean to pry.
Oh no, you're good. it's nothing I don't mind putting out. We're super tight.
Okay, so your family's behind you on all of this, your journey. No, why?
My father attempted a wrestling career and got injured 2 years in. My mother didn't like it when he did it, doesn't like the idea of me doing it. It concerns her, just the typical mother stuff. I don't want my baby
Do you have this conversation with her like once a month at least?
It's more so just every time she sees me leave my room to go to my car, and she sees me with my bag, it's like, oh, going to another show. She's just there kind of like, ah.
Has she ever been?
No, my mother's never seen me wrestle. She's never seen a match. She's never seen a highlight. She's never seen a thing. My
Does
father
that hurt?
Is full, not at all.
Okay.
It's not that she's not supportive. It's it concerns her.
Sure. She's a mother.
It'd be one thing if it was kind of like her, kind of like killing my dream, but it's more just like, the room for error, and also when I was with your father, I remember how it was for him. It's this whole big thing.
Is your father jealous of your success?
I make it a point to make sure that he is.
Okay, good. You guys have a good relationship.
The second that I made it to year three, I had to let him know.
And does he laugh about that, or does he put up like an acting?
I get any bit of my sense of humor that comes out in my character, I get from him.
That's great. Yeah. So, was your dad like really funny growing up? You thought your dad was hilarious?
I never knew my dad to be serious. So anytime he did get serious, the whole room would shake, because it was like, he's one of those guys where it's like, he's always in a good mood. So if he's in a bad mood, it's a bad thing. It's a bad thing.
Like you hear thunder.
Absolutely. It's a hard day.
So how did your dad come to pursue a pro wrestling career? How did he get to that point?
For him, it was just, also, he's going to love this because you're probably the first person I've done an interview with that has wanted more than 2 minutes about information about him.
I think we can do a whole show on that.
He's going to watch this and be like,
okay, good.
To the moon. in a lot of countries, like, obviously outside the US, especially like third world countries and like smaller places, like I'm sure like you notice like a lot of guys from like the UK, when they tell you when their career started, they started like 17, 15, all this other stuff.
Sure.
It's similar in that regard in Puerto Rico. My dad was very big for his age. He was a three sport athlete in high school. And it was just one of those things where I guess they saw him. And also he was one of those guys that like looked older than he was. So he already had facial hair, full set of chest hair.
He's a man.
Yeah, like nothing like me. Like my dad looks older than me in his 16-year-old picture than I do at 20.
Oh, jeez.
My dad was huge. So he just, it was brought to his attention. He was always a wrestling fan. He got as far as, you know, doing a couple jobs here and there, and you know, battle royals, nothing really. He never really did anything special. I am the least credible second generation wrestler on the planet. No one knows who he is, no one's gonna remember him. I could take his name for status absolutely nowhere.
Does that kill him?
No, he takes pride in his story, because for him, and I agree, the bounce back is just as good, you know. We never really struggled. If we had a hard day growing up, I definitely didn't know it. My dad, you know, he just picked up the pieces and still made a living doing something. And even still, somehow, some way, through him, because I didn't get into wrestling without him, the name Andino is still in wrestling now. And at the end of the day, it starts with him regardless. So 2 years, 1 year, a second, we still here.
So those 2 years that he was wrestling, he was with your mom? Okay. 1 year in, was your mom like even like, you know, sometimes people look at pro wrestlers as like superheroes. She never was like, man, my husband's a pro wrestler. Like nothing like that.
According to my dad, my mom didn't like it when he did either.
Oh,
my mother is...
Poor mom.
My mother is a very one-track-minded kind of logistics kind of person. Like,
okay,
we go to school, we get degrees, and we get like big important jobs. The concept of going off of a dollar and a dream, my mother doesn't live in that world.
Okay.
My mother does not live in that world.
Go ahead.
She's very life is hard work and an education.
Okay.
Yeah.
But she must have a good sense of humor with your dad being, you know, not super serious. Well, or does she provide the serious part?
I mean, they're divorced. But,
okay.
They still have, I grew up in a very rare situation, apparently, where even though my parents were divorced, it was never beef.
Oh, okay. That's good. Like,
apparently that's very common.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so I never knew that life where my parents have beef. Like, even though they're separated, different last names, it was never hard growing up having.
Did you all live in the same house even after they got divorced or separated?
No. He was out of there pretty quick.
Okay, and did that cause you or your siblings any issues, or you just felt like, I'm getting love from both sides, that's all I need?
Originally, but I was also like an idiot kid because for me, as soon as they separated, my mother made a very intelligent decision of deciding we're going to move to Maryland because all her family's in Maryland. My father's family is in New York. So for my mother, logically, it was, this is no longer a thing. Why would I stay here?
Yeah, exactly. Move back to your network.
So she, you know, we moved to Maryland. I was the only one of my siblings that was like, okay, I'm going to stay with my dad in New York. Because I, to this day, still, you know,
yeah,
true and true, I love New York. It's the greatest place on earth. Uh-huh. And he decides, and this will just speak to the kind of man my father is, he moves to Maryland.
Wow. Did he have any, like, friends or family outside of your mom? Wow.
My dad.
And he did it so the kids could be closer to him?
Strictly, the only words out of his mouth when my mother told him were, I am not going to be that far from my kids on any earth.
Wow.
And he moves to Maryland.
Wow.
Yep.
Did you understand the gravity of a decision or someone doing that at the time? No.
16-year-old kid that just wanted to be around his friends. I didn't think of this. I didn't realize, like, my dad's a man at all.
So your dad was very athletic as, you know, growing up. Were you the same way? Did you get any of that? No.
Nope. My sister is the athlete. My little brother is a freak of nature. I am the least athletic of the three of us, and I'm the only one pursuing an athletic career.
Really?
100%.
If someone had a lineup of your family, they wouldn't pick you.
They would assume me to be the one to get the education.
Okay. Mm-hmm. So then how did you get in? You had no, like, in high school, you weren't on any teams.
I played baseball and attempted wrestling.
Okay. High school wrestling.
That's about it. I was good at baseball, but then in Puerto Rican and Dominican, that's a cheat code.
Yeah, totally.
Like, let's be honest. Like, I grew up with a stick in my hand. Like, that was right.
Yeah.
But I didn't love it.
So who exposed you to wrestling? And was it like kind of like secret from your mom?
My dad and my two aunts.
Okay. His sisters?
Yes, they were both sisters. My aunts, for a while, because of the kind of jobs that both my parents had, we needed babysitters. My two aunts would kind of like rotate babysitting us. My aunt Amparo, she would have me, she would sneak me out of my room and allow me to watch reruns of ECW at night with her.
Wow.
And my aunt Blondie would just straight up let me stay up for Raw or WCW. Usually we actually watch WCW more often.
How old were you at the time?
Like
single digits?
Yeah, absolutely.
Wow.
Absolutely. My aunt Amparo was the more extreme appreciator, and my aunt Blondie just wanted me to have something to look up to. So she just wanted me to watch superheroes in front of me.
Was there someone or something that, like, hooked you?
Initially, it was Eddie Guerrero because, you know, when he spoke, he sounded like me. Mm-hmm. But there was a little bit of, like, you know, dang, but he don't look like me.
I'm
Hispanic, but he don't look like me. And then Rey Mysterio looks more like me. And then it's like, oh yeah, but he's from the West Coast. He's just tan. So like, to me, Eddie Guerrero is my favorite wrestler of all time. But like, the first wrestler that I saw and I was like, oh man, like, so people like me can do this was probably The Rock.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Did anyone take you to shows? Like even indie shows?
Couldn't afford it.
Couldn't afford it. Yeah, yeah.
We were way too broke, way too much trying to make money. Yeah.
I remember like saying to my mom, like, I don't know, it must have been 10. Come on, tickets are only 10 bucks. Like, you know, she's like, yeah, but you can't just go by yourself, you know? Yeah. But yeah, I mean, back then it's hard, especially for a little kid, you know, doing that. So at what point, so how do you go from, you know, not like, is say athletic is like your father, your mom not, you know, promoting wrestling. How do you get to like, oh, I'm going to be a pro wrestler? Like, how did it come about in your head?
Since I was 9, I was telling everyone that I'm going to be Eddie Guerrero and Captain America.
Oh, nice.
Just telling everyone.
Okay.
I'm going to be these exact two people, which then transformed into I'm going to join the army and I'm going to become a professional wrestler. And in December, I signed my DD-214 and done with the army after 8 years. That's why I'm growing my hair and my beard all that time of someone telling me what to do with my hair and my beard. I don't care. Just even it, as ridiculous as it looks, the power to have my own, what I want to do again. So yeah,
So right after high school, you went into the service.
Yep.
And were you in the army?
Mm-hmm. Army Reserve.
Wow. And was that like a shock? Like showing up for basic training, is that how it starts? Like you've
over time, I think everyone just started realizing, probably around when I was a teenager, I think kind of everyone like in my family and my friends, they kind of just pieced together like, Chris really will just do what he said he's going to do, regardless of like how long it'll take him. Like if he says, I'm going to climb the Eiffel Tower, somehow he's going to figure out how to climb the Eiffel Tower. So I've always been like that. So the concept of me saying I was going to do these things at 9 and sticking to it, you ask my dad will tell you, yeah.
Did anyone know of this plan of yours?
My sister and my brother.
That's it?
Nobody else.
So, as you're getting closer to graduating high school, you know, do you meet with like, representatives from the army,
or like recruiters? Like the average high school situation, the army recruiter came in, and okay. I already had it set in my mind that I was going to join the army. Like,
were you excited knowing he was coming in that day?
I didn't even care. I just saw him. Okay. I was just like, hey man, I already did the 4 years of ROTC. Where do I sign? What do I do? How do I this? How do I that? And he was like, don't you want me to sell it to you first? I was like, no, man, I already want to do it. You don't have to sell me anything. Just
yeah, I've been doing this for 9 years.
I'm just in my brain like, hey, man, look, just tell me what and where. Just give me the how. I don't know the how, but I do have the want. So
after high school, how long before
I took a year off to kind of get my affairs in order and also get my girlfriend to not be nervous and had to explain to her it's just the reserves, like I'll literally be at home on a weekend where it's not that serious, it's just gonna look really good on my resume. I was like, I'm using that time in my first contract with the reserves to decide whether or not I want to go active and like see if I want to see out the 20 years.
Do a lot of people do that?
I've heard it's very common.
Okay.
But, you know, that was my plan. I don't, you know, it's probably just a case of great minds think alike.
Did you have to go somewhere, like a different part of the country?
No, basic training was in South Carolina, AIT, which is just basically, you know, you doing like an extended, like little time where you learn the job that you signed up for.
Okay.
Was in Virginia. Wasn't even far from home.
Yeah.
So it was the longest I've ever been away from home.
So 8 years you were enlisted?
Mm-hmm.
And are you happy it's over?
Maybe that's not
the right term.
No, just I don't regret it. I'm glad of what I took from it. The only thing, if it was up to me, I just would have done a shorter contract.
Okay. Okay.
That's about it. But even then, maybe not. You know, it's one of those things of like, I'm where I am because of it. So it's like, I don't.
Yeah, everything it takes to get up to where you are, and if you're happy where you are, then that stuff was all worth it. Okay, so in this 8 years, when do you start planning for right after the 8 years and going into your next goal?
So when I started having a more available schedule, because when I came back and they told me where my unit is in Baltimore, conveniently, my friend was telling me that he knew a guy that could get me in to this wrestling promotion. Okay. I thought that was very confusing. Come to find out that it's basically like some backyard stuff.
Okay.
But it was actually probably the most professional, unprofessional setup on the planet.
Really? What made it like that?
When you think backyard wrestling, you assume outside, really dingy makeshift ring, right?
Yeah. Teenagers running around.
Not at all. These were adults with a legitimate ring, with legitimate structure, storytelling, and booking.
Cool.
Some guys even had full blown gear.
Like, oh wow! And what about would you get an audience?
Yeah, actually. And the thing was, because we weren't charging anybody, we'd get away with it. Wow. People would just pass by, see us, and just come in. And we had a hard cam, you name it. We were set up damn near professionally.
When you got in the ring for the first time, had you ever been in a wrestling ring before?
Nope. The only types of things that I've ever done was just working with my dad.
Okay.
My dad, without really letting know, basically was working me a bunch. Like I was locking up at 10 with my dad.
Oh, okay. What about taking a bump? Had you ever taken one?
From like since a kid. My dad has videos on like old things where it's me legit pow. Like tuck chin, you name it, getting up left over right.
Like, so was that a huge advantage? Like
I didn't know it till I knew it.
Yeah. Oh wow. Okay, so do they train you before they put you into a match?
What ends up happening was this guy kind of told us what we needed. We did a couple of things outside, and then they put us in front.
Wow.
And we just did it. And I did that for 3 years while I was in the reserve.
Did they know that you were also wrestling?
Who, the reserve?
Yeah.
A couple of my sergeants and my platoon sergeant actually thought it was super cool.
Okay.
My platoon leader, excuse me. He thought it was actually super cool because he was a big wrestling fan.
Oh, awesome.
So he would legitimately.
That's a good thing to have in common.
Yeah. He would legitimately ask me to send him like the shows. And I was like, these are dingy shows. You don't want to see these. But for me, it was just like, it was a foot in the door.
You had a built-in fan. So you did the backyard wrestling for 3 years. Mm-hmm. And how did you, at what point did you say, you know what, I want to take this up a level and get like formally trained?
What ends up happening is a couple of guys, more specifically Brandon Lawson.
Okay.
He goes to Sykesville, gets trained by Riot City. And he goes through the process, and then he messages a couple of us from that like setup.
Okay.
Not everybody, because I'll be honest, not everyone should have gone pro.
Okay.
I'm not trying to kiss my own ass.
But no, it's just the way it is.
There's a reason he didn't just create a giant group message with
everybody. Yeah, yeah.
He hits myself up, K.A. Robinson, Samuel Masters, and Tyler Moore.
Okay.
He hits us up and tells us, you guys need to stop wasting your time there. Come up to Sickens, get trained, and do this damn thing.
So they look down on backyard wrestling?
Absolutely. Understandably. Oh, okay. Understandably.
Yeah,
because in some regards, it was just kind of like, hey, man, like you're wasting your years and your time. And like in some cases, like I'm sure you've seen videos, some of these guys were doing like some really extreme ass fucking, excuse me, like they were doing like a... I don't know. Yeah, I should have asked you in advance. Can we
curse? No, I don't care. You're an adult.
Oh, okay, cool.
Yeah, my 11-year-old says the craziest shit to me. So.
Listen, man, I'm sure you've probably seen these videos, man. Some of these yard shows, they were doing some fucking excessive shit.
Yeah.
And in reality, especially for those shows, you're not making money, you're probably losing money. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And like we're in our 20s. So I could understand looking at people like doing these like insane spots and thinking, man, you, if and when you do decide to make that transition and get formally trained, you're mm-hmm. gonna feel like, huh, shoulda, probably, coulda did it sooner.
Oh,
and I absolutely felt that way.
Did you know? Oh, so you, while you were, you know, in that 3 years, you knew that this wasn't the place you needed to
get formally trained? There's literally a video somewhere of me doing a promo and saying, I'm only going to be here no more than 4 years.
And, oh, okay.
I'm leaving you guys for bigger and better pastures.
Okay.
So yeah.
So you and the three other guys.
Mm-hmm.
So you're going back. Where are you going then to train?
We
like physically, where is it?
We take ourselves to Sykesville, Maryland, and we start getting trained by Sicken and Riot City. I was excited because Sicken has been trained by Ruckus.
Oh, okay.
So I was like, I'm on that list of people that have like always thought like, yeah, Ruckus is the man. A lot of the stuff that's happening right now, like you guys really should be paying homage to this dude. Like he walked for a lot of these guys right now to run, and I don't see no one like kissing the ground
he walks on.
I think it's a little disrespectful. That's another conversation. So I was very excited. And then I had to come to grips with the fact that I can never wrestle that style.
Oh, really?
Yeah, absolutely not. I'm 6'2", 220 pounds, and I don't have a gymnastics background. I wasn't doing cartwheels or working on backflips or front flips of any degree when I was a kid, so it's not like it's mechanically built in me.
Yeah.
Like, you see Ruckus now, even with all the size he put on post-injury, he can still do handstands and stuff.
Yeah. It's like some people can do it, some can't.
Whereas for me, unlike him, I wasn't doing it at a smaller size, so being a bigger size was absolutely not going to get it done.
So. Was there a big difference in being in a backyard ring as opposed to like a ring that you were training in? Basically the same things?
Never been in a backyard ring.
Oh, okay.
The ring.
Wait a minute.
The ring we used was a legitimate.
Was a real ring. Okay. That I wasn't clear 100% on.
Sorry. My body was already fully acclimated to bumping.
Oh, so yeah. Did that put you ahead of anyone else that besides the other guys that came with you? Were there other people training?
The guys that came with me also wrestled there.
Yeah.
And they all actually wrestled there, with the exception of Tyler Moore, they all wrestled there longer than me.
Oh, okay.
Samuel Masters and K.A. Robinson wrestled there longer than me. When we took our first bump, immediately Sicken picked up on. I literally asked you guys, do you have any previous experience wrestling? And we all said no. Because we were like, okay, you guys, that backyard shit doesn't mean anything. We go in there at absolute ground zero. We're humble. We shut up. We just listen.
Okay.
And we all like do our first couple of things, and we did them a little too well.
Yeah.
So the cat was out of the bag very early. And then he watched our stuff, and he immediately said, this is awful. But it's clear that you guys are just a bunch of like unpolished diamonds.
Okay.
So he actually worked with that as opposed to treating us like guys that have never touched a rope in our life.
Okay. So he could skip over some stuff and advance you guys on.
It upset a couple people.
Whatever, you know, of course. In any industry, that's going to, you know, people are going to be upset. Yep. Let me ask you a quick question.
Mm-hmm.
Is it, I'm like weak. Was it cool body slamming someone for the first time?
I think for me, I never really gauged my size up until these last couple of years.
Okay.
I very much underestimated how big I am, and I think it's only because my entire family is like full of giants.
Mm-hmm.
So body slamming someone felt like something we're just supposed to do.
Okay. Like, it's just another, you know.
Yeah.
I'm more impressed with myself who's not strong.
I'm more impressed with myself when I do things that are outside of my like typical size range.
Yeah. Do you ever go?
I still pat myself on the back doing a leapfrog.
Yeah, it's great. I mean, compared to compared to 99% of the rest of the world, most people can't do that, you know?
That's a way to look at it.
So how long, so you were a little far ahead. Sure. How long to your first match?
It's going to sound so bad. Inside of 30 days. He trusted us to do battle royals.
Okay.
For that very thing of, like, you guys basically just didn't get trained, but you guys already kind of had it. And like I said, it did upset some people.
Okay.
It did upset some people. But he held us on that royal, like, we were doing just battle royals.
Like, okay.
Legit.
Did you have friends coming out to see you even on those early ones? Or no, you don't want anyone there yet?
I've never invited anyone to a show up until, like, literally two shows before, like, the last two shows I did pre-COVID were the two shows that I actually invited people.
Why is that? Like,
I didn't believe in my wrestling up until,
Like,
the Andino Heat stuff.
Like, yeah.
That period of time, like, when that started is when I actually started believing. Believe it, even though I've been dead set on doing it, I actually was just like, I'm going to keep trying, but I'm just trying.
Were the people you invited impressed?
Yeah, and I still don't know if they were just being nice.
Yeah. Well, whatever, just assume they're being sincere.
I got a lot of positive feedback from that highlight match that you just, like, that match with us all.
Yeah.
A lot of positive feedback, and I'm still looking at those messages like, y'all just being nice. I don't believe you.
Oh, God, yeah. Totally. Yeah. Well, you'll never then, like, you know, feel that anyone's being completely sincere about it.
Not at all.
What's, like, the hardest part of, like, training? Like, before, like, it matches or anything? Do you have to, like, work out every day, like, lift and
cardio? I have recently picked up the habit of working out.
Okay.
So,
but you hadn't up till then?
Nope.
And there was no problems? Like, your cardio was fine in the ring, all that?
I think my cardio has always been a non-issue because of the Army.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah. But as far as actual weight training, never done it.
Really?
Never done weight training. So I am a deer in headlights just listening to Eel O'Neill is who I work out with. So I just, hey, man, you tell me what I need to do, and I will do it to the best of my ability. And I feel it every time.
So you have to go with someone, though, right? So
him. No gym confidence. When I do work out without him, I am, like, kind of, like, messaging him almost like for, like, moral support. Like,
oh, really?
Yeah, it's really bad.
I'm waiting for someone to get off the bench press machine. Just give me a little support.
He has my back, though. He's very like, you got it.
So when did you have your first singles match?
It was the month of April. It was in West Virginia. And it was a last man standing match.
How long did that go?
It went about 18 minutes.
Jeez.
And I wasn't even supposed to do it.
Okay.
I was supposed to do a six-pack challenge.
Okay.
And then someone fell out, and I filled in, and then my opponent fell out, and then I ended up wrestling someone else.
So if you knew this going in, like that was, would you have prepared differently?
I just
thought going into that match.
In my brain, I said, we've been working for this our entire lives. It doesn't matter if it was because I didn't care why. I just was like, it's here. So
let's go. And was that like really grueling? I mean, it's your first singles match.
Had a blast.
Oh, really? Okay, that's what I want to ask you. So, like, on the morning of, like, a show, say it's a Saturday morning and you're going to wrestle that night, do you wake up like, oh, I can't wait, or it's like, oh, I have to go to work tonight?
No. My mindset is always, just put your best foot forward. It doesn't matter if it's a battle royal. It doesn't matter if it's a segment. It doesn't matter if you're doing security, if you're just ring crew. You know, we just put our best foot forward at all times.
Okay. So, like, is at what point, or maybe it hasn't happened, do you start thinking about, like, all right, I want to start going after championships? Is that important?
I'm so glad you just asked me that.
Okay.
In character and out of character, I viciously, very almost, I probably need therapy.
Okay.
I need the Chocolate City Championship. There are multiple reasons for it. Mm-hmm. I've held championships. Mm-hmm. Not that they didn't matter, but in my brain, this is just another step to get to something else. Okay. The reason specifically why I want Fight's Chocolate City Championship is mm-hmm. because of what the outgoing message from that championship is. And when people ask me, like, oh, don't you want the Pan-African World Diaspora Wrestling Championship? Mm-hmm. I go, I mean, that would be amazing. It's not where my eyes are set right now.
Okay.
I want the Chocolate City Championship like no other. It's because Chocolate City is DC. DC is, in my opinion, like right now, mm-hmm. the Mid-Atlantic right now, and I'm sure like you probably know this because you keep up with plenty of wrestling.
Yeah.
There have been multiple moments in independent wrestling where certain areas, like mm-hmm. they're like having this big boom, right?
Sure.
Like it's happened in California. It happened in the Carolinas.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it seemed like at one point everyone who was important was coming from New York, New Jersey, like that whole Northeast area.
Mm-hmm.
In my opinion, right now, the Mid-Atlantic is the current boom.
Okay.
And then when you squeeze the lens and like zoom in more, it's mm-hmm. specifically the Grapple region. And then you squeeze a little more, it's more mm-hmm. specifically the DMV. And then you squeeze one more time,
mm-hmm.
and it's DC. Right now, all of the best wrestling mm-hmm. wrestlers are coming from, wrestle in, cut their teeth at, or are straight up just born and raised from mm-hmm. DC. Right now, Trish is one of the hottest things happening in wrestling. She's from mm-hmm. DC. She's yep. from DC. A lot of the best stuff that's happening that's been coming from Ring of Honor, where were they? Baltimore, mm-hmm. Maryland. It's the DMV and DC is breeding a bunch of stuff. And okay. To be the Chocolate City champion means I'm the best in DC, which in tail means that I'm the best, period.
How do you get to that point? Like, how do you get yourself in position to, okay, I'm wrestling for this?
I got, once again, lucky, and I'm mm-hmm. not, I'm not dumb about it. I'm aware. Billy could have wrestled anyone for that inaugural Chocolate City Championship match. And also, mm-hmm. If you have seen that match, in that match and during our match, like as it gets announced,
mm-hmm.
Johnny announces that it's for the Chocolate City Championship. That was in real time. Me nor Billy knew that that was the case until
wow.
When he announced it, we literally, as we're grabbing each other, we're like, what?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, did you guys make eye contact? I'm like,
It was pure. He said that, right? Yep.
Why did they do it that way? Why didn't they say anything?
I think it's more so because they were up in the air about it, because the championship actually didn't get mailed.
Okay.
So
oh, God.
When Billy wins, they couldn't present him a championship because mm-hmm. it physically wasn't there. But it was, it's Fight's first championship match.
Mm-hmm.
It was the first of its kind false count somewhere match. very interesting.
Yeah. What's that difference in a false count anywhere?
A false count somewhere is where before, so the competitors don't know, but mm-hmm. The crowd is made and the referee are made aware of the designated pinning area and or submission area. So there's one specific designated location that isn't, it's not like they put an X somewhere,
uh-huh.
but they just let the crowd know, and the crowd is meant to participate and let us know hot or cold.
That's awesome.
So it's on IWTV.
Cool.
If you want to watch that, it was just as ridiculous as it looked. It was just as ridiculous putting together.
Okay.
Yeah.
But that sounds like cool. It sounds like a different, I've never heard of that before, but it sounds like different and like more exciting than any, you know, false count anywhere. It's more strategic.
We had a blast.
Oh my God.
Every,
What's like the best part of being a pro wrestler? Like, is like from when you were 9 years old, do you feel like you've gotten what you wanted as a 9 year old to where you are now?
Going home afterwards is the best part.
Yeah.
Because it's like that moment, like, wow, I really just got paid to do something I'm enjoying on purpose. Like, I don't have I'm really working towards, like, my number one and most important goal is to make a living being a professional wrestler. Mm-hmm. Like, naturally, like, I don't want to have a day job. I want to just be a wrestler for income.
Sure.
But just the idea that, man, I just got paid to do something, honestly, I would do for free.
Yeah.
It's awesome.
That's amazing.
That little euphoric moment after the job is done.
Uh-huh.
And you get that little envelope with your name and whatever amount of dollar in there. It's just like, wow, uh-huh. this person really paid me for this as a service. This is fantastic.
That's amazing. That's good. Like, so you're able to like recognize like the non-wrestler in you, like, oh wow,
if you gave me 5 cents to suplex someone, I will treat that 5 cents like, could you believe it?
Yeah, wow, that's amazing.
Can you believe it? I made a nickel doing something I would do for free. Can you believe it?
You're very devoted to this. Are you able to maintain friendships or have like a significant other, or is it you have to pick one or the other?
I've been with the same woman for 10 years and 6 months as of yesterday.
Oh, wow.
Since the 11th grade. One of the first people that didn't share my blood to tell me that pursuing wrestling isn't crazy was her. As dramatically, oh my God, that's so adorable as it sounds.
Like, yeah.
I don't want to make you throw up, but as long as I have her, I'll be fine.
Oh, that's awesome.
Not to say to any of my friends, like, hey, if you, none of that.
I know what you mean. Yeah, absolutely. To have that, like, partner, you know.
I have a consistent person that tells me I believe in you.
Did she like wrestling before, or seen wrestling, or have any, like, opinions of before you guys met
school? I didn't realize until later down the line how convenient it is that she's not an aggressive wrestling fan. She's aware of wrestling. She doesn't follow it extremely. She'll watch a wrestling show, no problem.
Mm-hmm.
But to pretend like she's like a big wrestling mark or anything like that would just be the furthest thing from the truth.
But that's good that you have that balance, you know?
Yeah.
Not someone constantly saying, yeah.
Oof. Until I started, like, you know, I won't get into specifics, but, you know, meeting other people where their situation is, you know, wrestler and someone who's an avid wrestling fan and or wrestler. Mm-hmm. There are certain parts of those dynamics that I respectfully want no part of.
Oh.
Yeah.
Are children around, or is that something that's potentially coming?
Oh, no. I have no kids.
Oh, you're so lucky. is that something that you're getting pressure on?
Nah.
Okay.
From my family, yeah, but then again, like I said earlier, Hispanic, they do, like, yeah. The fact that I'm not even married is stressful to them.
Stressful to them?
They are under the impression that if I don't propose to her, she's going to leave me. Little do they know, we together like the fact that we're not rushing anything.
Yeah, as long as your relationship is fine, literally the only difference is like a tax advantage of getting married, you know? Like,
everyone is under the impression that there's something the matter, but in reality, I feel like people forget, if you do the math, like I said, 10 years, 6 months, I'm 27.
Yeah.
In my opinion, 27 is a baby.
It is.
You do that math and you subtract by 10 years, you know what I mean? Like, people hold too much value in the 10 years part, and they go like, I'm not even in my prime.
Yeah, exactly. I mean, you still have, I'm 45 years old. I look at 27 like...
You look good for 45, man.
Oh, thank you. But no, like, 27 is super young. I wouldn't advise anyone to get married before 30 years old.
Yeah, I hear that. I get two separate opinions. One, what's taking y'all so long, and others where it's like they're doing the right things.
Yeah, and then you got another 10 years to have kids after that. Like, you're in good shape.
We know.
But anyways, so what are your like goals going forward?
I am halfway through the process, but for a while I didn't have like well-made like wrestling gear. Thankfully I was pointed in the right direction where, you know, sometimes guys don't want to like, a lot of guys in wrestling, man, they don't want to give out, you know, the kind of game that'll get people ahead. I've been fortunate to meet some people that aren't that stingy.
Because they want someone to design specifically for them and want no one else having.
I don't even know if it's that. I just think that, like, just, you know, a little bit of a dirty game. Guys don't like the concept of bringing people with them. You know,
why do people have that attitude? Like, you don't have that, do you?
My father raised me to look at wrestling as a team sport. Every man matters. Every man, woman, it don't like everyone. From if you're doing ring crew to security to announcing to commentating, if you are any revolving piece on the cog that is the machine, I appreciate you. I value you. When I see you, I'm going to shake your hand, and it's always love.
And you see, again, you don't have to give me names or anything, but you see the opposite. Like, there's people who really.
I see more the opposite than the latter.
Even people who aren't like established, they still.
It's what's crazy is I've met more people that have more like, hey, I'm a somebody, you know, like, so like,
yeah,
watch how you talk to me. I've seen more people that way be more open.
Oh, wow.
So you would think it would be like those kind of guys was like, hey, I'm too big to help you out.
Jeez.
Yeah. I have no problem highlighting those guys.
Yeah.
I'll say those names all day, all night. Like, O'Shea Edwards, if I message him, asking him something, the second he could give me the answer, he's going to give it to me.
Wow.
Eel O'Neill, he'll give me an answer immediately. Literally just, I'll bore you. Like,
it's all interesting to me.
Yeah. Also, I don't have a vacuum to do all this name dropping. So, I'll highlight them because like, I look at them as friends as well.
Whereas
some guys, it's more of like a good professional acquaintanceship. I see them, I think they're friends. Like, I'll hit them up if something's wrong. I'll talk to them outside of their wrestler name.
But just as like another person who's got this job. What's the biggest expense that you have as a pro wrestler?
Thanks to AK Willis, who always has amazing boots.
Okay.
I wanted to get away from kick pads because I don't throw those kind of kicks.
Mm-hmm.
So I asked him, hey, bro, where are you getting your beautiful boots?
Mm-hmm.
He points me in the direction of his Mexican plug. And they look great.
Yeah.
But man, that is $200+. I can't get back.
Oh, God.
They're fantastic. They feel great. They're light as a feather. I tried the whole boxing shoes thing.
They just
don't look that good. You would think my tights, because they're like loud and sparkly as you can. Tights were not as much.
Okay.
Yeah.
Do you have like multiple like pairs of boots? Like, is it addictive? Like, by getting
I'm now that I have a decent shoot job.
Uh-huh.
That can help me with those expenses, and also other wrestlers giving me financial advice.
Oh, that's great.
Because of this is, if you would have hit me up for this interview 1 month later, I would be talking to you from my apartment. This is the last month of me living in my mother's basement.
Oh, nice. Yeah. Do you have to contribute anything like rent, meals?
I have been working and helping my mother since I was 15 years old.
Okay. Question.
Completely by choice.
Who's doing the laundry? Are you responsible for your own, or is it whoever's up there, or, you know?
Oh, in this house?
Yeah.
If you can pick something up, you can do it yourself.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
My mom has never been a housewife and never will be a housewife.
Okay, good. Well, yeah. I mean, but it's good for you. It teaches you about all these things that maybe you wouldn't, you know, in another life.
In this room, and just in general, I have to a degree lived off my own dollar since I was 16.
Oh my God. Did you work in high school?
Yep, the whole time.
Oh, wow. That's great. That's amazing.
Through high school.
So that did that give you like discipline that you could take to the army and then that discipline take to, you know, pro wrestling?
Unknowingly,
yeah.
To me it was just regular. Whenever I would you know, hang out with friends who weren't doing these things, I thought they were weird.
Oh, really? Okay.
Cuz to me, working for your own stuff regardless of age was just what you're supposed to do as a person.
Yeah, and then when you're able to get things with that stuff that you've worked hard for, it makes it, like, appreciate it more.
Yeah. You work for what you want, and that's kind of just it. To me, that's always how I thought.
I wish more people were like that, especially my kids. But we'll get to that in a second, actually. All right, I'm going to let you go in a minute. But can I ask you 5 non-wrestling-related questions, yes or no? Awesome. Okay, first one, and you don't have to do it, just yes or no. Can you speak with a Chinese accent?
No.
Okay. Is there a circumstance where you would adopt my children and marry my wife as a favor? Any circumstance?
I really want to keep my girlfriend, so no.
No, you wouldn't have to get rid of her. Okay, well, that's another conversation. Okay, question number 3. For $940,000, would you crawl a marathon?
Crawl a marathon? 100%.
Mm-hmm. Okay, good. Are you a Francophile?
What is that?
Someone who's obsessed with the country of France?
No.
Okay, good. 4 for 4 so far. Last one. Have you ever done the dance move, the Roger Rabbit?
What is that?
I don't know. It's a dance move that my wife's a dancer and I've seen it before. It has something to do with that the Roger Rabbit movie, I guess. I just don't remember
I've probably seen it, but I just can't off the top of my head.
Okay, and I couldn't perform it for you right now.
I can dance, so I think if someone showed it to me, I could do it.
All right, we're going to give that one. I'm going to give you a point on that one. You're 5 for 5. Hey, where are you? Are you booked for any shows coming up?
As of right now, I've been slow because of COVID. I've been very, like, I'm not trying to just do shows like everyone else. Off the top of my head, I am at 1CW in Houston, Delaware the 11th of next month.
Okay, great.
Yeah.
So you'll see what happens. I mean, it's so hard to plan anything because of this.
2 more episodes of Mochella are coming to IWTV. Okay. I am on, I don't know the schedule of how they're doing it. I don't know if they're doing 5 episodes or 6. I know that they have dropped 3 of them. I am 100% sure I am on 2 more episodes.
Oh, okay, great.
But I don't have the schedule. I'm not in charge like that. I just do the wrestling.
yeah, totally. You just show up and do your job. Yeah. Last question, I'm sorry. Are you able to watch wrestling for fun? Or is it kind of ruined?
I watch my personal friends' matches whenever they want to send them to me.
Mm-hmm.
I try to watch wrestling. I think just in general, a lot of mainstream wrestling has gotten a little diluted. It doesn't matter to me, though, because that's still where I want to be.
Yeah.
But, you know.
Do you watch IWTV more than, say, like the Peacock Network or...
Honestly, I kind of go back a lot.
Okay.
Yeah, I take it back and watch certain things as like I probably maybe in my mind like I probably wasn't able to truly appreciate this as a child.
Uh-huh.
Like everything just looked cool because I was a kid.
Yeah.
So like there's a lot of I am currently on a binge of the entire 5-month stretch of 2000 to 2005. All mainstream wrestling, not just WWE.
Oh, wow. So that's what you've been focusing on?
Yeah, I have been. If it was on a form of television, I am looking for it and I am watching it.
Are you able to learn stuff while you're doing that? Like, there's things that you pick up?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. That's amazing. All right. Well, thank you so much for coming on. I really do appreciate it and putting up with my questions and stuff.
Oh, no. It was cool.
But I wish you nothing but the best, and I look forward to seeing you in the future.
Thank you. We'll do another interview when I have the Chocolate City Championship.
For sure. Maybe we'll get your dad on that time, too.
You know what? I will do that for you.
And I will do that. All right. We'll talk down the road for sure.
Let's do it. All right.
All right. Awesome, man. Take care. Thank you.
Have a good one.
You too.